Welcome to the John Gambling Show with special co-host Mayor Michael Bloomberg on News Talk Radio 710 WOR. Now, here are John Gambling and Mayor Michael Bloomberg.
All right. Yes, indeed. Friday morning, Mayor Michael Bloomberg is here in Studio 4. Mr. Mayor, hello there.
The dog days of summer.
Really, not much going on.
Most things still happen. A lot of stuff.
It had to be pretty slow. I saw you down at the aquarium getting kissed by a seal or something.
You're just jealous. I think that's what this comes down to. You know, you sit here and, you know, thousands, tens of thousands of people listen to you every day. And all you do is think about me getting in the aquarium. We had lots of kids and beautiful weather. And
have you ever been kissed by a seal before?
Negative. I think it was a sea lion.
Was it?
I
wouldn't know how you tell the difference.
Oh, they can tell.
Now, did it act? What did it do?
Yeah,
there's pictures in the paper.
They just come up. He holds his nose, which with a lot of whiskers, next to your cheek. Mm-hmm. And he just holds it until the trainer slaps him and hands him a fish.
That's what he wanted. He didn't want
anything
to do.
Yeah, I mean, that's the way
you.
They train him. They give him. And every time he does another trick, the trainer throws him another fish. It's a pretty good deal, you know. The sea lion or whatever gets free fish and safe, and people learn about the environment and all the different creatures that God made. And the aquarium's spectacular. And we were there to announce a whole new thing, a shark tank, which will have other things, and a building, brand new building. There was a family that gave $7.5 million, which is spectacular.
That's nice.
Nice gift, yeah. And public-private partnership, I think it's $125 million building, something like that. Coney Island is spectacular. Coney Island, everybody said, if you remember, years ago we were going to renovate it. Oh, this is ridiculous. Nobody will go there. Why would you go there when you can go to Orlando? Well, you know, get a life. If you want to go for a day, you can't go to Orlando. And you don't need an airplane to go to Coney Island. They last year had something like 640,000 people go to Coney Island on the beaches. They're clean, they're safe, lifeguards. The boardwalk has been renovated, the new rides, this Luna Park and Scream Zone, I think are the names of the two. You should go to some of these things. One sends you 150 feet straight up in the air in a quarter second.
It's like a slingshot.
It's exactly a slingshot.
Yeah.
It's exciting. You can take the subway there.
Now, there's been a suggestion that if indeed casino gambling comes to New York City, and that's an if at the moment, but the Coney Island might be a site for the casino.
Number one, casino gambling is a tax collection system. That's what it's all about here. Everybody wants the taxes that casino gambling will generate, and I've said this, I've always believed this, it is so regressive. Because,
it
tends to take monies from people who can least afford it. Now, look, nothing wrong with gambling. If you think it's entertainment, I don't have a problem with that. But the truth of the matter is that every time you put some money and that wheel goes around or you pull the lever or the cards get turned over, whatever kind of gambling, you throw the dice, the state gets a piece of the action. And in the end, you, by definition, will lose the percentage that the state takes for taxes and the percentage that the owners of the casino take for their profits and to cover their expenses. You cannot win. Now, you can individually win, and you can individually win a few times, but on balance, it's just not a good deal for anybody. Having said that, if you're going to have it, I think we should have it in the city, and I think we should have it every place. Why should people on Staten Island not have a casino? Brooklyn? Great place for it at Coney Island, but why shouldn't there's just no reason why, and in other places where they have gambling, they have it every place in a lot of states. In Chicago? No, it wasn't. Someplace or other in the last few weeks, and you drive down the street and you go by multiples, you know, small casinos, and if that's what people want to do, and if we're going to do it anyways.
There was a time when slot machines were actually legal. I'm going way back
right
now. But they would have them in delis and in stores. And
why not?
You know, nickel slots, and you go pull a lever.
If it were up to me, I guess I would say no, but we're going to have gambling.
Lottery is the similar thing. I mean, it's not a game, but it is.
You know, this is all built around calling something that it isn't. We all talk about we're going to have lotteries to help education. The monies are fungible, okay? It goes every place else. We're going to have casinos because they help the neighborhood. Very little evidence that the neighborhood around any place in this country where they build casinos benefits. Going to create an enormous number of jobs. No, small number of jobs. And there's so much competition now that these things aren't making a lot of money. I gather the one in the Racino, as they call it, at the racetrack.
Aqueduct is killing it.
Yeah, but it just that comes at the expense of other casinos and or racinos, and when somebody builds one, they'll suffer. It's a fashionable business. Las Vegas, I think, last time I remember reading reports that Las Vegas makes most of its money now from hotels and restaurants and entertainment, not from the gambling anymore. Now, you go to a place like Macau, that's a very different story. But in the United States, these things aren't that profitable. And you'll love this. Gambling is illegal in New York. They don't have slot machines. You walk up and you say, oh, there's a slot machine. No, it's not. We allow lotteries. So when you pull the lever and the lemons and limes go zipping around, it sends a signal out to a computer, does a lottery, comes back, and then displays the fruit based on whether you win or not. You can say, what's the difference between that and a slot machine? Only legally and only in New York could you have this subterfuge and say, oh, that complies with the law. I mean, come on.
Exactly. Come on. But Coney Island is fine with you if that's what's
sure.
decided.
Yeah, absolutely. Be great.
Okay.
But I think it just would be every place.
Do you have an update on the bike sharing thing?
I do. Why did you ask?
Because it's been one of those things that I found fascinating, the way it has been unfolding, not just here in New York, but this Alta bike share company around the
country. Well, that's the problem, actually. Number one, the most fascinating thing about this is all those people that screamed, we don't want bicycles, now screaming, why aren't they here? I mean, someplace or other, I missed something in the news coverage. But anyways, the whole bike share thing has generated an incredible amount of excitement. Unfortunately, there are software issues. And one of the newspapers keeps writing, you're hiding something. Yeah, well, nothing. The software doesn't work. Duh. We're not going to put it out until it does work.
And Alta has had this problem in almost every market.
Yeah, and until it works, we're not going to put it out. Keep in mind, there's no penalty. The public isn't paying a dime for this. It's done with private money. The people that are putting up the money understand. They're probably not any happier about it than the people who want to rent the bikes or you and me or everybody else. But that's the real world. We are just not going to put out the system until it actually works. We did think that there would be a possibility of a partial launch. But at this point, I think we think that it just would
next
be
year.
The spring. Hopefully the software will work by then. We want to make sure that it works. And Washington and Boston are pretty good tests. You know, if you try to do it in the winter, Mother Nature isn't
Chicago
really...
Chicago made the same decision, I think.
Did they really?
Yeah,
it doesn't surprise me. But, you know, the city, it really has very advanced technology. Each station is like a dock. Each place you stick in a bike is a computer, and everything needs to work perfectly. They run on solar power, so you don't need a lot of wiring, and there's no burden on the electrical system. There's an enormous number of transactions that you have to communicate in real time to central computers.
And the bikes have a computer on them or a GPS on them, right?
In this day and age, everything has a computer.
Well, that's true.
I mean, that really is true. More and more. I mean, you know, I don't know why clothing is going to have a computer in it, but you can bet in 10 years or 5 years, the computers will be so thin, they can be on material, you won't even notice them. Why? It's going to tell you when the thing needs to be washed or whether it was washed correctly or there's a piece of dirt on it. You know, you have a stain, look down where your stomach shouldn't be but is, and coffee is spilled on it. So, you know, it is technology is very hard. City, the sponsor of the project, has been really cooperative and a great partner, and they'll be ready to go. It's something we're getting for free, and we're just not going to launch it until spring, and it's a major success. In the meantime, one of the big problems is there are bicyclists who break the law of speed. I saw...
the guy get hit up in Central Park?
I saw in the paper, and I feel sorry for him, and a friend of mine... I don't know that he wants anybody to know, but a guy who most people, a lot of people recognize his name, he got hit, run down on the back. And
my mother did years ago when they lived when she lived in the city, got hit by a bike.
That's gone on forever. I mean, you keep in mind, you always have people get killed by cars every day. People fall off a roof, and yeah, lots of things go on. That doesn't make this any better, but if you put it in context, there are few. But you know, any one is one too many, and we've got to figure out. The question is, how do you slow down bicycles? You could put speed bumps, except that then automobiles wouldn't be able to go over, and it really just doesn't work. So. You know, here you have something. We want to make sure it works. Citibank is the big sponsor of the whole thing. They couldn't have been more helpful in postponing and getting it done. And it's not costing us any money. It's something that if it's very successful, the city's actually going to make money. And Citibank will get a good return on their investment because lots of people will see their name and bank there.
I can't wait to see how it works. It
is very popular. And just the world is going towards more bicycles. It's not going to replace cars, but you can't get more cars on the streets. And you have to have other means of transportation. Walking is one thing. Bicycles another. Buses, subways, those kinds of things. And the streets are there for everybody. Streets are there for people and not just for automobiles.
All right. Having said that, what about the carriages? We had the incident yesterday with the horse that ran away.
Yeah, it's a shame. The horse is okay. I think somebody told me.
People went to the hospital.
Yeah, but I think they're okay. Fortunately, no serious injuries.
Right.
You know, things happen. That doesn't mean...
Should they be restricted to the park? Taken off the streets?
They're not much on the streets. I think most of it they go in and out. They still have to get to their stable and that sort of thing, so it's not really very practical. The number of accidents, very small, and there are some people who don't think it's a good idea. You know, the horses are well taken care of. The health department and the ASPCA make sure they're healthy. They work, you work. I mean, in our society, we have from caveman times used animals part of our economy. We eat them, and we use them to work with us. And as long as they're treated well, I think it's something that a lot of tourists really love. It makes New York, New York. It would be a shame to lose them. And there's always going to be accidents. We don't ban bicycles. We just talked about it. We certainly aren't banning automobiles every time there's an accident. So, you know, this doesn't seem to me to... And I'm just glad nobody got seriously hurt and the horse is okay.
All right, let me take a break right here. Got a little long. 800-321-0710 is the telephone number if you got a question for Mayor Bloomberg. In fact, we've already got some folks up on the line. 800-321-0710. The Housing Authority, at least on the pages of one paper, a big deal. You made some changes on the board. What's going on over there?
It is HUD's policy, the federal agency, to rip down public housing throughout the country. In New York City, we've said, no, we're not going to rip it down. We are going to have it. Roughly 4% or 5%, I think it is, of the people who live in New York City live in NYCHA housing.
So 400,000, something like that?
Yeah, I mean, it's an enormous number. Enormous number of buildings and complexes and entrances and apartments and all of that sort of stuff. It is funded, it's run by the city, but funded by the federal government, not the city. The city doesn't have the money to do that. It's an old plan. All these buildings are old, and so maintenance costs keep going up. But at the same time, while the costs go up, the federal government keeps cutting us back. I think we've lost, a big percentage of all the funding. So it's an enormous problem, and we're struggling every day to find a ways to do it. And given the number of people there, the number of problems you have is relatively small. Crime is higher in these buildings than it is on the streets, but it has come down. There's something like 400,000 residents, 2,500 buildings, and 300 different developments. So it's an enormous management thing. If you take a look, you see these pictures of public housing around the country. They blow them up and it comes down. We're not blowing up ours.
What are they doing in those cities where they do that as the alternative?
They just say, nothing, you're on your own.
Really?
Yeah, so I mean, at some point here, I sit here and I say, you know, this guy John Rea, who I appointed to run this thing, we are really trying. And there's no easy solution. And it's going to get worse. And they'll be able to write another story about it. But the bottom line, it's like, I love this. There's one of the papers had a story about an 80% absentee rate in a school among teachers.
I saw that, yeah.
Okay. The number of teachers in the school is something like 20 teachers. Three were on medical leave. I mean, okay, but on average, it's 95% attendance rate, not 80%. You can always take one thing. It's going to take a while to, we paid some money to this Boston Consulting Group, a very reputable group that comes in and gives you some recommendations from outside. They identified something like $70 million of potential savings. Keep in mind, that's a tiny percentage of what we spend, but it's better than nothing. They found some ways they think we can increase revenue, and we're trying to do that anyways. You could build other buildings on vacant land within these developments. You know, everybody says, great, great, but oh, I don't want that to block my view or our little park and that sort of thing. We think if we reform the structure, we have three outside directors who really have worked very hard and deserve a lot of credit, but it's different than other city agencies in that those three directors are paid. Other city agencies, the equivalents aren't paid, or they got $100 a year or something like that. So we're going to try to change that. Albany is one of the things. We need them to change a lot of laws. Police are trying to do the best they can of keeping crime down. We renovate as much as there's money for. And people say, oh, well, you know, you didn't spend the money in the lot, and you got $1 billion sitting there. Well, you only have $1 billion. The federal government gives it to you. They give you 4 years to go and to spend the money because it takes a long time to design and permit and that sort of thing. Could you do it better? Yeah, I'm sure. We have something like 11,000, 12,000 employees, something like that, working for the 400,000 residents. It's reasonable. And there's some things, for example, New York City Housing Authority, they do a lot of seniors programs and after-school programs. Well, I'm going to turn those over to Linda Gibbs and have other agencies take those over because I don't think that NYCHA should have to worry about that. That's not their core mission, and I want them to focus on
maintaining
the housing. But people say, oh, put cameras and electronic locks on the doors. That's great, but the estimates are $500 million because you've got 2,500 buildings. Every building has half a dozen or more entrances. If you put a camera on one and not on the other, you know, just to make a lot of sense, running the wiring, and then there's maintenance, and people got to watch the cameras, and there's a whole process with cards. Some people don't like cards because they want to give an extra key to a friend, and that sort of thing, which is one of the reasons you'd like to stop it. But when we start to do that, you'll bet your life they'll be complaining about that. Oh, we don't want those cards. Why? Because then you can tell who's going in and who's going out.
And when they're doing it, exactly.
And when they're doing it. Yeah, that's, you can't have it for free. And I'm not hardly here to say NYCHA's done everything perfectly. But if you take a look at the big numbers, yeah, they've done a pretty good job. And we're not walking away from public housing. And most other cities are. And in fact, even the federal government's policy is to try to find other ways to house people.
There's this housing in all five boroughs?
Oh, yes.
Right?
Yeah,
I mean,
sure.
NYCHA's throughout the city.
Yeah, I mean, we have 300 developments, and each development has, you know, 10 buildings or something like that, 8 buildings, I think, on average, 2,500 buildings. The number of apartments, 400,000 people. Let's assume there's two at an apartment, that 200,000. So when you say, well, you've got 500 refrigerators sitting waiting to be installed, why aren't they installed? 500 out of 200,000, this turnover all the time, you can have that much on the back of a truck all the time.
An enormous operation.
Yeah, I mean, I like the people that write these. They've never run anything. Good luck. Take the job if you don't like it.
8:30 in the morning. Let me take a break. Joe Bartlett's standing by. And again, if you'd like to get online here, we got a couple of open, 800-321-0710.
Here's our
brought to you by Racatina Lexus. Experience the legend in luxury. Racatina Lexus of New Jersey. Route 35, Oakhurst. Route 9, South Freehold. And they're up on the Boston Post Road, too, in Larchmont. want New York, stop in today. Take advantage of all the terrific programs. And Lisa's Friday, John Gambling Show. Mayor Michael Bloomberg here in Studio 4. You were in Boston talking to immigration. I know it's a subject.
Chicago and Boston. We picked those two cities because Obama comes from Chicago and Romney was the governor of Massachusetts, where Boston is.
Well, this was a little encouragement or...
Well, yes, I hope so.
Leveraging.
We have this enormous problem of we don't have seasonal workers to pick the crops in the Southeast. They're rotting, literally rotting on the ground. They can't pick them. And we don't have people starting businesses. We've got a very high unemployment rate, much higher than we should. We don't have new industries are being formed overseas rather than here because the engineers and scientists that are starting them can't get visas to come here. And the federal government should do something about it. And so, and I trying to urge both candidates, whoever gets elected, to do something and to tell us now, what are they going to do? If, you know, everybody says, what's the big issue? The economy and jobs. Okay, immigration's a very big part of that. Where's the talk about what they're going to do? What's the biggest social problem we have? Well, 48,000 Americans are going to get killed in the next 4 years with guns. It's pretty hard to find a problem that much greater. I mean, there's some that are equal, but that's a very... What do you hear about guns? Nothing. And so I went both places. I talked, gave a speech to an economic club, about 650 people in Chicago, with Bill Daley, who is Richie Daley's, the former mayor of Chicago, brother. Rich Daley, the father's son, he was the mayor of Chicago for 20 years as well. And Bill Daley was, for a year, maybe a little bit less, Barack Obama's chief of staff. And, you know, a good Democrat. And then I went to Boston. We had 300 or 400 people there. And I did that one with Rupert Murdoch, who's certainly very, very different politics than Bill Daley. Murdoch is an immigrant to this country, comes from Australia. News Corp, his corporation, employs people around the world and wants to move them around. So, you know, it was a balance between the two, and everything I've said about one of the two candidates, you can say about the other. Neither one is standing up saying what they would do for immigration.
You and I, over the course of the past 10 years, have talked about this subject a lot, and the solution, I think, seems so relatively easy. It's determining the needs of the country and then making a policy that works to affect
that. The issue with immigration is some people want... The economics, that's what you and I would really be talking about. We need entrepreneurs and we need scientists and we need people with a certain sets of skills to create jobs.
Pick crops, whatever it might be.
And all of the studies show these immigrants create jobs. They don't take them away. That's just totally incorrect. Farm workers, nobody else will pick the crops. And so the jobs above that in terms of distributing and cleaning and selling and preparing and inspecting the vegetables and fruits and vegetables, those jobs disappear when the crops don't get picked. So, you know, seasonal workers really do create jobs. They tend to be very low-paid jobs, but the jobs that they create for Americans are much higher paid up the chain. And the reverse is true in the case of scientists and engineers and those kinds of people with those skills. They tend to create jobs all the way down the economic ladder. You know, it costs you nothing to have them here. Immigrants come here. This is not a place you come and put your feet up and work without working. I don't care if you come across the border, you overstay your visa, or you have a legitimate right to be here. This is a tough place, America. You have to work. People come here to work. They tend not to bring their families if they're undocumented. They tend to not have much crime because they're scared to death of getting involved with the government and getting deported. Since they don't bring their families, they don't use the schools. There's a handful. They're young, so they don't use the hospitals. Yes, everybody every once in a while breaks a leg and goes to the hospital or has a heart attack. But generally, most of the hospital bills are for older people. So all of these things people say, oh, this is why you don't want immigrants. Every one of them's wrong, and we're paying the price. The unemployment in this country, if you've got a better idea of how you create jobs, I'd love to hear it. But the presidential candidates, they've spent no time talking about the economy. They want to yell each other, you know, you said, I said, and pointing
ridiculous
fingers. They have no solutions. In all fairness, I said the other day, both Biden and Ryan are out there, you know, trying to push policies. I don't know whether you agree with them or not. Doesn't matter. At least they can give the voters some ideas of what they would do. And you know, and then it gets down. You're going to cut Medicare. No, I'm going to cut Medicare. No, I'm not going to cut it. He's cutting it. Both plans, Ryan plan and the Obama plan, incidentally, are virtually the same on cutbacks. Obama said, and he couldn't be more right, that we just cannot afford to continue to do what we're doing. And Ryan said the same thing. But instead of giving us real clear ideas of what they would do, they're unwilling to face some of these controversial issues. There are guns and what you do about it. There's immigration, what you do about it. There's, you know, they talk about tax policy, but they just use made-up numbers. I mean, you know, tax the other guy. I'm going to cut the other guy's benefits, and I'm going to cut, and I'm going to raise the other guy's taxes, but not yours. You vote for me. And, you know, the level of the discourse is something I'd like to be able to change. And I'm a citizen. I care about New York. I care about the state. I care about the country. And I'm going to speak out on some other things, too, that New York is involved in, that influences the people that live in New York, and that I think the two candidates have not been willing to address.
Well, we're talking about sort of exaggerating and using numbers to your own benefit. There was a story this week about arrests in schools, and I think it was 4 a day. And when I talked about it, I said 4 a day with 1 million students?
1,000,001 in the public schools, and there's 250,000 in the
like
others.
Doesn't seem like a big number.
No, I mean, in the 11-12 year. They did school safety personnel arrested 882 students, and the NYCLU said that we had targeted minorities. Look, number one, our schools have to be safe. They got to be safe for all students, and has nothing to do with ethnicity. The NYPD and the Department of Ed have reduced violence and criminal behavior that threatens our schools and our teachers and our communities. They work very hard, and it's way, way down. People don't remember what it was like 10 years ago or 20 years ago when it was really bad. And the people that are complaining, they sort of make these claims without providing any context. If you look in the last 10 years, I think we've reduced major crimes in schools by something like 49%, violent crimes, which you still have some, by 45%. We have the lowest rate of school-based arrests for any major school district in the country. So just put it into perspective. It's like incarceration. The rest of the country is throwing young kids in jail. We have reduced the number of people incarcerated in our jails by a third in over 10 years, and crime keeps coming down. If you take a young kid and you send him to jail, we don't correct them. I know it's called a corrections department, but what we do is we mix them in with a bunch of people that teach them how to be more dangerous to society, more detrimental to society. You would be better off with these young kids. If they're threatening people's lives, yes, they should be incarcerated. But short of that, I know it may feel good to say, I'm going to throw that kid in jail, I'll get even. All you're doing is hurting yourself.
Talked with Bill Bratton about this yesterday in a great conversation. He used the same example. He said, stop and frisk and taking guns away from people keeps kids, young kids, out of jail.
Oh, yeah.
As well as keeps other people safe.
Absolutely. You know, unfortunately, it is true that most of our crime is in a handful of neighborhoods in the city. They are neighborhoods where there's lots of problems, broken families, not enough education, not schools that are not good enough, not enough jobs, old housing stock, not enough parks. I mean, all of those things. Nobody ever has one problem. You say homeless. If you're homeless, you've got lots of other problems as well. And the only ways you're going to help that person is if you give them lots of different services. But we've concentrated our stop and frisk, the same place we've concentrated our cops. They forget about ethnicity. It's wherever the crime is. It is true that, unfortunately, in our city and in many places across this country, the crime rate is much higher among certain ethnic groups. Okay. It is. Let's do something about it, not complain. But when you go, the first thing you got to do is stop the crime, because those ethnic groups where the crime is being committed are also the same ethnic groups who are the victims of the crime. So you tell me we're flooding an area and we're going after young kids of a certain ethnicity. Yeah, we're also flooding the area and trying to protect the young kids of the same ethnicity. And, you know, this yelling and screaming and everything's based on race and somebody else is always culpable. Come on.
The city council, including the speaker, are looking at the summonses and the fees when it comes to the restaurant inspection, and they say they're too high, too much money should be cut in half.
Well, it's a question of whether you want to help the public or not. All the restaurant's got to do is get rid of the mice and the cockroaches and the open containers, follow the rules, and they won't have any fines. And a matter of fact, if you get an A, we waive fines for small other violations. This is totally a made-up thing by a handful in a restaurant industry that doesn't want to clean up their act, and they give money to and support the campaigns of people, and in return they rush to the ballots, to rush to the defense lines and start screaming at the the bottom line is, since we put the restaurant grades in, most restaurants get an A. It helps people go to restaurants and don't go to restaurants that don't have A's.
No, I couldn't agree with you more. I mean,
and here,
you're going to go eat at a C?
And the number of cases of people coming into our hospitals with salmonella, which is food poisoning, has dropped by 15% right away. I mean, this works. Now, if you want to go and have more people come to the hospital sick, cut the fines. That's what it's going to do. Fines are there. I mean, the money's nice because it reduces the amount of taxes we have. People say, oh, you shouldn't have fines. Well, then we're going to raise your taxes because we're still going to spend the same amount of money. But the fines are better than taxes because you don't have to be fined. You can prevent the fines. And the fines are there to encourage or discourage certain behavior. We don't want you to speed. We're trying to discourage you from speeding, so there's a fine if you get caught speeding. We do want you to clean up your restaurant, so there's a fine if you don't. But, you know, it's a made for, I'm going to go out there and yell and scream, this is an outrage. They should talk to the people who eat in the restaurants as opposed to the people that own the restaurants and are helping their campaign. And incidentally, most restaurateurs, when you talk to them, they think it's great. It forces them to keep their restaurants and their kitchens clean. And that's what you want here. We don't want to go to other places in the world. People get sick all the time. That doesn't happen in New York. Why? Because people obey the law. Why do they obey the law? Well, fines are part of that.
Speaking of restaurants, Tavern on the Green is coming back, I read.
It is. There's a restaurant from Philadelphia. I don't even know their name. Won a competition, open competition. The restaurant workers union that had represented the old Tavern on the Green workers seems happy. They had vetted, there were three or four contenders, and they said they would be happy with any one of them. And those restaurateurs said they'd be happy to negotiate with the union because we don't require you to have a union shop. That's private sector, and I would be totally wrong for us to do that. They had one. There was another, the guy that owns the Boathouse, Dean Pohl. He's got a great restaurant there, but it's non-union. He could never get together with the Restaurant Workers Union for Tavern. They fought back and forth. Eventually, we said no mas and just pulled it. Both you guys are going to stop. We had these carts there for a while, but now this is going to be. And it's not going to be what we had before. The old place that Warner Leroy had started was
Crystal Palace.
I was told, I don't know if it's true, but I remember being told that that Crystal Palace part was built without a permit or something, and they just built. I don't know if that's true or not. That'd be interesting to see whether. Anyways, people say, "Oh, you know, you drove them out of business." They went bankrupt. Yeah. They couldn't. They did not. It was big and glitzy,
and expensive,
and people didn't go there.
And this is going to be a little less.
It's this phenomenal old building that fits into the character of the park. It's for casual dining. There's no space there for parties. Because you have parties, then the people in the park can't use it. This should be. And remember, when Tavern on the Green was Tavern on the Green, you went there because you were safe. You couldn't walk the streets of this city. Today, every borough, every neighborhood has new restaurants all the time. We're up to 25,000 restaurants in this city. Record sales tax revenues from restaurants. There's just more business than they've ever had before. You don't need this. This should be part of the park. And the park should cater to everybody in the park, its facilities.
Are there too many street carts?
You know, I came across 42nd Street last night from the Signature Theater, which is this new complex built over on the west side, related build at one of the buildings, about 10th or 11th Avenue on 42nd Street. I saw a great
multiple
play.
Multiple stages.
Yeah, I saw Sam Shepard play Heartless last night. Great acting. Phenomenal acting. There's one, two, three, four women and one guy, and they were just, it really was great theater. I'm still not sure. I still can't figure out what one character was. I'm going to talk about that today. But that's what a playwright should do. He should make you, or she should make you think. And I've certainly talked about it since. We had hamburgers last night and talked about it. But anyways, there are a lot of carts across there. You know, the people love them. They get a lot of business.
Otherwise, they wouldn't be there.
That's right. The marketplace is saying. Now, you know, you can argue, do you let the marketplace set the number of anything? I have said that's the way you should set the number of pedicabs. Now, I would be a little bit disingenuous if I didn't say that you should let that set the number of food carts, but you also have some other public policy issues. If you have a store and somebody sets up a food cart right outside and they're not paying rent and that sort of thing, you know, we want people to fill those stores, pay rent, have bigger places, employ more people. There's no easy answer. The public does seem to like them. There's a halal food court right by the Hilton Hotel. Every time I go by, they got half a block long.
Well, right here, as you see, right across the street from Zuccotti Park, right. There must be at least 10, I would think.
And they're all busy.
They are all busy. Otherwise, as you say, competition would put them somewhere else. Mr. Mayor, let me take a break here. We've got phone calls, and we're pretty much filled up here. Let me see. I think we got one line. If you care, try 800-321-0710. Ray Catena Motor Car Corporation. Experience the legend in luxury, Route 1 North, Edison, or Ray Catena of Union, Route 22 West. Stop in today. Take advantage of all the terrific programs. Your press secretary, your right-hand man.
We are going to have somebody else to kick around. Mark Lavonia is taking over from Stu Lozer, who took over from Ed Schuyler. If we have survived Lozer and Schuyler, we can survive Mark.
This isn't a reflection on you that he's had enough with
I know, he had enough the first day, I think. No, all kidding aside, people don't understand just how valuable press secretaries are. They not only tell me what to say and what not to say, they explain to the press what I meant to say. But that's true. I mean, because, you know, if you're a reporter, you've got to get some explanation because you can't just write what the mayor says and you don't go into the details you need for a story. And the most important thing in a press secretary is that the press trusts them. That they would never, ever lie. They know they might not get an answer, but the press secretary would never lie to them. Schuyler started it out, couldn't ask for a better press secretary, and yet we got somebody that was as good, if not better, and hopefully Mark Lavonia, who Stu's trained, the way Ed trained Stu and Stu's trained Mark, he'll do, continue on, a better job, I don't know. But you can't ask for more. The public is very well served, as is the administration, by these guys. And I just wish Stu's going to start his own business. Anybody needs some advice? This guy has impeccable judgment, I've always thought. When Stu says do something, I don't always do it, but I think long and hard before I go against him.
Mike in New Jersey, you've got the mayor's ear. Go ahead.
Hi. Hey, how you doing, guys? Mayor, you seem like a very nice guy, but why are you using a static number of, in the next 4 years, 48,000, 12,000 a year?
Well, every day in this country, Mike, 34 on average, 34 people are killed with illegal guns. 32 was the number for Virginia Tech. It's now up to 34. That's an average that's been growing, and it's some days a little more, some days a little less, but that's it. If you just take 34 and multiply it by the number of days in 4 years, that's where you get a number like 48,000. It can be slightly more, slightly less if we were to do something about it. And incidentally, you want to take a look. You can do things about this. After the Virginia Tech shooting, where the shooter was able to purchase the weapons, even if his health records showed that he shouldn't have by federal law, and he killed 32 innocent people, after that, the state of Virginia actually substantially improved its reporting, and they now have one of the highest reporting records in the nation. The fact of the matter is, Second Amendment gives you the right to bear arms. The courts say you can have reasonable restrictions. The federal government has passed reasonable restrictions. You can't have a gun if you're a criminal, if you're a minor, if you're a drug addict, if you've got psychiatric problems. Federal government, unfortunately, has not provided money to enforce those laws, and there are some loopholes. Like 40% of the guns are sold outside the system. Most gun dealers are honest. Most gun dealers report. It's not a big deal. It really would save a lot of lives. That's where Emma comes from.
Florence, you're up next with the mayor. Go ahead.
Hi, Florence.
Hi. Oh, you're doing a fantastic job, Mayor.
Well, thank you very much.
My granddaughter graduated with honors and has a master's degree in special ed, but there are no jobs.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, we do hire teachers. The positions that are open are created because teachers retire. When the economy is softer, teachers retire less frequently, so there are fewer jobs. We also, the public doesn't want to pay any more money. But if your daughter wants to teach in New York, we would love to have her, and hopefully if she keeps her eyes and ears open, there will be openings down the road. We've always got not enough money to do the things we want. We have a great group of teachers. There's a handful of bad apples that make the press every day, but most of them are phenomenal. And, I'm sure your granddaughter is smart. And
I remember speaking with you years ago, a long time ago, when you couldn't find enough teachers to fill
today,
the slots.
If we hire, we'd be inundated from across the country. It used to be parents didn't want their kids to come to New York. Now they want them to come to New York because no matter where they are, they're going to be safe. And this is where young people want to be. It's exciting, and they want to be in a school system that's dramatically better, and it is better.
Have yourself a good week, Mr. Mayor. We will talk with you next Friday. We've got some more talk.